Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. The Book of Ruth contains many images of Christ in the Christian life. In one of those images, Naomi sought rest in a God-ordained marriage for Ruth to a kinsman redeemer named Boaz. This parallels a sinner entering into rest when they cease from their own works and receive God's imputed righteousness by grace through faith in Jesus. Please open your Bible to Ruth chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his discussion of what transpired between Ruth and Boaz at his threshing floor.
We've been going through the book of Ruth, and we are in chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to read one of the most beautiful, pure, clean, holy love stories ever told. That's a miracle in this day and age. You know why? Because it's not written by Hollywood. It's written by the Lord our God. Right? Amen. Let's read it. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens you were? Behold, he winnows barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put your raiment upon thee, and get you down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall mark the place where he shall lie, and you shall go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what you shall do." And she said unto her, "All that you say unto me, I will do." And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For you have showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followed not young men, whether rich or poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that you require. For all the city of my people does know that you are a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that you have upon you, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who are you, my daughter?" Or actually, "How did it go?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then she said, that is, Naomi said to Ruth, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Notice that Naomi has taken Ruth under her wings. Naomi was a Hebrew, knew the Hebrew culture. Ruth was a Moabite. And there's tradition that says that she was one of the daughters of the king of Moab by the name of Eglon. And so when she had the opportunity to return to Moab, she could have really lived really, really well. She could have had the life of a queen. She could have probably had any man in Moab that she wanted. But we've already seen she's made a decision to follow the Lord God of Naomi, the Lord God of Israel. And so in New Testament terminology, we could say she's left the old life. She's now become a new creature. And everything now that Naomi is instructing Ruth to do is completely foreign to her. It's the completely opposite way a Moabite woman would attract a man. And it's a completely different type of a man that a Moabite woman would be looking for. But how many of you know that God's ways are much different than the world's ways? And that's what we see here, this beautiful picture. Naomi, much older now, is going to, aware that Ruth has been winnowing in the, you know, picking up grain in Boaz's field, says, basically she's telling her, Ruth, God's doing something. Remember the floodlights last week? Dylan, you should write a movie or something and everything. I felt like I was watching a movie performance last week. So the lights now are coming together, right? And so now Naomi is telling Ruth, there's something here for you. The word for rest is used to describe the rest and security in the God-ordained covenant of marriage. If you read the New American Standard, you would find the word security in verse 1. If you read the NIV, it says, finding a home for you. And so Naomi now is typical of that culture. She is now going to take the initiative to arrange a marriage. Arranged marriages are very, very common in the East. They're not common in our nation. It's very common in that culture. Young people do not normally decide whom they would marry. Marriages are arranged by their parents, if possible. We see in the scripture how many times God will send someone out to find a spouse. Abraham sent a servant to find the bride for Isaac. Jacob was sent to find a place for his wife. And so Naomi says to Ruth, Boaz is our kindred, a close relative. The man in whose field you have been gleaning is a close relative. And that was speaking of this peculiar custom that we find in Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10, which was the law of the kinsman redeemer. It comes from the Hebrew word goel. Now, there were four responsibilities of the kinsman redeemer. Four. Number one, the kinsman redeemer was responsible to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery. Number two, he was responsible to be the avenger of blood, to make sure the murderer of a family member answered to the crime. Number three, he was responsible to buy back family land that had been forfeited. And number four, he was responsible to carry on the family name by marrying a childless widow. And so when someone assumed this role of the goel, there was a weighty responsibility. And since Boaz was recognized as a goel for the family of Elimelech, because he was the deceased husband of Naomi and the father-in-law of Ruth. Now, Ruth could legally appeal to him to safeguard the posterity, but neither Ruth nor Boaz are going to push for something to happen. They're doing something very wise. They're laying it all before the Lord. And they're allowing the Lord to work this out. So Naomi says, go at night, and Boaz is going to be winnowing barley, and he's going to lie down there at night. They would winnow at night because it was typically cooler, because the daytime, which was much hotter, was a time for harvest. Now, the threshing floor was actually a public place. The harvesters many times would go with their family after a day of harvesting, and after an evening of threshing, they would have dinner, they would sing some songs, they would lie down, he would put his head toward the grain and his feet out. And what we have to remember here throughout this whole story is that there is nothing sexual, there is no appearance of evil here at all. This is pure, this is holy, okay? And that's very, very refreshing to me, and I'm sure to you. So Naomi says to Ruth, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put clothes on her. She was not telling her, dress provocatively, get the most strongest fragrance that you can put on and kind of like dance your way in there. There's nothing seductive about this at all. Matthew Henry said, if the proposed advice had borne the appearance of evil, Naomi would not have advised it, and Ruth would not have taken it. She says to Ruth, lie down at his feet. In other words, in that culture, that was a means of humbling yourself. That wasn't a means of coming on to the man. It was a means of humbling herself before him. Ruth came to claim a right. Boaz was her next of kin, her goel, her kinsman redeemer, and she had the right for him to marry her. But she's not going to presume upon that. She's going to trust the Lord. She's going to humble herself under the mighty hand of God. That's good advice, isn't it? To humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and leave all of the consequences up to him. Notice what she says in verse 5, Ruth to Naomi, all that you say unto me, I will do. This is all new to her. This is completely the opposite of Moabite counseling. This is like biblical counseling. And she says, okay, I'm new to this. You've been walking with Jehovah for a while. I'm going to take your counsel. And hear all that you say, I'm going to do. So she went down to the threshing floor. She did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to do. Ruth trusted her elder mother-in-law's wisdom. It is wise, young people, to trust the godly holy wisdom of your mother or grandmother or great-grandmother who are following the Lord Jesus. It is wise for you. There's much to be gleaned from listening to them. One commentator said, how beautiful it is when you can put an old head on young shoulders. Ruth says, you tell me what I'm supposed to do, and I'll do it. Isn't it refreshing, Mom and Dad? How many times when you say something to your son or your daughter, you go, now, so-and-so, would you do this for Dad? Why? How come? There's none of that. She just realizes that Naomi is older and wiser, and she receives from her this wisdom. All of this is new. She's got to renew her mind. Well, this isn't the way it was in Moab. And things are different when you come to Christ, don't they? The rules of engagement are a lot different. They're holy, they're sacred, they're beautiful. And so she obeys. Boaz has a good meal, has something to drink. He goes and he lies down at the end of the heap of corn. There was good reason why he did that. Remember, this is the place, this is during the time of the judges. And it would not be unusual for these thieves to rob these places. And so he's there and he's now sleeping, watching over the grain. And there's quite a bit of it. We'll see at the end of the story. And while he lies down and starts falling asleep, it says in verse 7, she came softly or quietly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. Now, I don't know what time this is, but then at midnight, Boaz was startled. He turns over, and behold, a woman is laying at his feet. Okay? Now what? Now keep in mind that Boaz and Ruth are a man and a woman subject to like passions just like you and I are. And there seems to be some kind of a chemistry between them. And now here she is and here he is. Boaz doesn't recognize her at first. He asks, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your handmaid." Then she says, "Spread therefore your skirt over your handmaid, for you are a near kinsman." Now that is a phrase that is used to express God's covenant relationship with Israel. Adam Clark says this in his commentary, "Even to this present day, when a Jew marries a woman, he throws the skirt or end of his tallith over her to signify that he has taken her under his wings." And so by making this appeal, Ruth was appealing to Boaz to take her in marriage since he was in the line of a kinsman redeemer. And God is putting everything together. Everything that is happening here is morally kosher. There's nothing that is inappropriate. There's nothing that would even hint at being an appearance of evil. Now, Hollywood turns this story into something that Hollywood does really well. It turns purity into filth. They're really good at that, if there's such a thing as being good at evil. But so Boaz's response, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for you have showed more kindness in the latter end," verse 10, "than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followed not young men, whether poor or rich." So evidently, Ruth was very attractive, and there were young men and that were poor or rich that were attracted to her, and it appears to indicate here that Boaz is kind of has been shy in really approaching her, which really necessitated why Naomi tell Ruth to approach Boaz. There's an age difference here of at least 15 years. So if Ruth is 20, he's 35. Do the math. At least 15 years. It also seems because of this that Boaz never would have thought that Ruth would have even considered him for marriage. But now he's the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz, now knowing that he is a kinsman redeemer, he could have really gone for it. But he has to trust in the Lord. You know why? Because there's another man nearer a kinsman. So he's trusting the Lord to put this all together. They're both walking by faith. But I really, really love here a couple of things that I think are so beautiful. This says a lot about Ruth, how now she's prizing godliness and loyalty above love and greed. She wasn't a gold, what they call in the world, a gold digger. This guy, if I marry him, boy, I'm going to have it made. That was the last thing that she had in mind. She based her attraction to Boaz more on respect and character than the amount of money that he had in the bank or image or appearance. And now he says to her, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do all that you require, for all the city of my people know that you are a virtuous woman. Fear not." He's telling Ruth, "I'm not going to take advantage of you. I'm not going to manipulate you. We're going to honor God in this relationship." And that's something that every one of us needs to bear in mind. Are you living to honor God? Are you living to please God? above all. That's what comes out so loud and clear here with Ruth and Boaz. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Ruth had so much wonderful character. And it's revealed through this book by the choices that she made. The first was her choice of devotion to Naomi. She meant to stay with her rather than go back to Moab. She stayed and chose to bless her mother-in-law rather than live a queen's life in Moab. She had respect for her. She was unselfish. By the grace of God, she chose to follow the God of Israel, which meant that she had to forsake all of her previous religious upbringing and walk in newness of life. Micah 6:8 says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Well, in the Hebrew, Micah 6:8 says, to walk modestly with your God. Modesty. How much modesty? Or the lack of modesty do we find in our nation? The basic idea here is that she chose now to live a holy life. Ruth now is choosing no longer to dress like a Moabite, but to dress like a Hebrew. That touches a few nerves. The basic idea here is that Ruth wore clothing that would not over-accentuate her body, because the real you is your soul and your spirit. And when the body has preeminence over the soul and spirit, you're out of order. And so she now is dressing properly, modestly, because she wanted to be known as a woman of character. And even though people knew she was a Moabite, she's getting a reputation. She's a woman of virtue. Reputation. Your reputation. My reputation is very, very important. And Ruth chose to live herself in such a way that she would honor the God that she now believed in. And now she's choosing to trust and to love Boaz, even though he was much older than she was. She's leaving the choice to God. She's pleasing God above herself. She's a woman of virtue. That's a powerful word. Remember when a woman touched Jesus and the Bible says virtue came out of him. It's a word that speaks of healing. It's a word that speaks of strength and valor, a mighty man of valor. When you read about that in the Old Testament, that's a word that is used that is in the family of the name or the word virtue. Proverbs 31 tells us that she was a woman of virtue. These Jewish sages tell us that Boaz noticed how she would sit down before picking up the grain so as not to expose or flaunt herself. She determined to honor God. She didn't want to be someone that was a cause of offense. She didn't want to bring reproach to her Lord and Savior. Boaz now, no doubt, guys, you know, his heart's got to be pumping. Here's this virtuous, godly, attractive woman, and now it seems like everything is all set. But he says, it's true that I'm a near kinsman, but there's a kinsman nearer than I. In other words, Ruth, we've got to trust the Lord to bring this about.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.